Well, it is a pleasure to be with you tonight. I've been here at the church before, actually many times going way back in fact, I remember one of the first times that I visited the church and even spoke at the church. They were just working on this building. And so that's a few years back when with the first round with Brother Weber and so forth. But blessing to be with you this evening. And you should have received a handout, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But two reasons to be here with you tonight. First of all, as Pastor already mentioned, I do want to say on behalf of the Mid-America Association of Christian Schools, a big thank you to you as a church and as a school in hosting the elementary fine arts competition once again. You often hear it referred to as Max BAFA, and that stands for Bible Academics and Fine Arts Competition. We throw these little terms around, and sometimes people look at me like, what is that Max anyway? And actually, your school is a part of the American Association of Christian Schools, which is the national organization. And it's an organization of state organizations. And so on our side, I live in Kansas City, we have the Missouri Association of Christian Schools, and then we have the Kansas Association of Christian Schools. And some years back now, it was early 80s actually, and I remember a fine arts competition where we would take our students from our school down to St. Louis, and a guy by the name of John Stormer, some of you might have heard of him, but John had a school and he would host the competition for the state of Missouri. And yet we'd get down there, and normally it was just John's school and our school, and a lot of times people didn't even have people to compete against because our association was pretty small. And so somewhere along the line, we got the idea, why don't we put some of our states together? And so we basically put four states together. And so really what we call the Mid-America Association is Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa. And we have three events, main events that we host each year. And first of all, in the fall, there's a Educators Conference. And we've been hosting that. In fact, this next year will be our 40th year of having that conference. And so we host it in the Kansas City area. And that's mainly for the teachers. And it's a wonderful time to get some great workshops and helps for them in the classroom. But even beyond that, just a real challenge as far as the philosophy of Christian education and why we do what we do. And so we have speakers that come in, keynote speakers that challenge us besides the workshops and so forth, and a great time together. So that's event number one. Event number two is the BAFA, the Fine Arts Competition. You'll be hosting the elementary one this Friday, and then the following week on Wednesday through Friday will be the one at for the junior high and senior high, and it's now hosted at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. But we so appreciate the time that you put in all the work. I heard the announcement, the work night on Tuesday night and so forth. And I know working with fine arts competitions and the various things with Max, as well as even other organizations, the work that goes into that. And so it's a commitment not only for the school, but it's a commitment for the church and for your ministry. But such a help to people, because really the goal behind it is to help prepare our students for life, your children, grandchildren, for not only life, but really taking the abilities and talents and helping to develop them for the Lord. I was just at a recital yesterday, actually, for one of the groups in Kansas City that I actually have some grandkids that'll be competing this week and then next week up in a junior, senior high. And so really three ministries that kind of go together with a homeschool group, but then at the same time all the schools that are involved with these as well. But it really is, and I look back even myself at our own children. We have five children They're all grown and out in ministry. We have 19 grandchildren now. But I look back and really BAPA was a great help to us. And I don't want to take too much time with this, but I'll never forget my oldest daughter. And she really enjoyed music, but drama wasn't really her thing. But she had this sixth grade Sunday school teacher that wanted every girl in her Sunday school class that went to our school, they were going to be in the competition whether they wanted to or not. And I can remember my daughter coming home and telling us that her teacher wanted her, and she had the perfect speech for her. And she said, "I don't do speeches. I don't get it in front of people. I like to sing. I like to be in the choir. I like music. I play the piano. But no, not speeches." And yet, teacher was persistent. And one night she called on the phone and she said, "I have the perfect speech." And before I knew it, my daughter, I would see her in her room looking over this speech. And she ended up in the competition as a sixth grader. I think she won something. And every year after that, she was involved in it. And the story goes on, because now as a mom, and she has two daughters, they live in St. Louis, and she has one who's a senior and one who's a sixth grader, and the senior is very involved, not only in music, but in drama, and very, very involved in it, and so forth. And I think it's just a carry-on of Max, but helping develop talents and abilities. Our two sons are actually pastors. We have three daughters, two sons, and both of them got their start in preaching in the Max BAFA, the Bible Academic and Fine Arts Competition, where they'd have to put that message together, and started that as junior hires, and it really helped them to develop and begin to enjoy, wow, I can see that, you know, first of all, the Lord uses his word and he can use me. Wasn't like they liked the competition, but there was always that incentive too, that now if you do good, pastor would have you maybe speak to the youth or speak to the church. And that was kind of exciting to be able to give a challenge in the school or so forth. So I could go on and on with that, but that's the behind reasoning of part of what we do with this. And so as we are involved in hosting and helping and all the hours that go in the preparation for BAFA, I would just say that it's really for the children. It's for those students that are in our schools. And as a result, it can be a great help to families and so forth. And of course, parents have to get involved in all this as well. I know nothing about the piano, but there were times that I thought, you know, I think I could sit down and play that piece that I have heard, you know, hundreds of times before the Max competition. And I probably couldn't, but I thought maybe I could if I ever tried it. But anyway, just on behalf of Max, thank you for what you do and all the work and everything that goes into it, because without it being hosted here, you know, what are we going to do with the elementary? And it's great to get them involved at that age. And then Faith Baptist Bible College does such a great job of rolling out the red carpet. Don't charge us anything at all. Let us come in there. They actually call off students or call off school and use their students as helpers and faculty and staff, even as some of the judges. And so gracious to us, and appreciate that very much. That's my first reason for being here. So thank you to you that are here, who they're live stream, and pass the word to other people if you would too. Also tonight I'm here because I want to share with you something from the Word of God. I'll try not to keep you long. I've got a little bit of a drive myself back to Blue Springs. It takes me about an hour and 20 minutes normally. I don't know what it'll be tonight, but something that I want to share with you. I'll give you an outline. It looks like we're going to be here for quite a while with the outline, but did you notice, if you looked at the outline, the blanks, almost all of them are already filled in. And what I want to do tonight is share with you three life principles. I actually would challenge all of us in something that you don't hear a whole lot about today, or at least it doesn't seem like we hear a lot about. And that is the whole area of scripture meditation. And I'd like to just take a few minutes to share that this evening, because I think it's so important. Let me put something up here. I think we're ready to go with the PowerPoint. Yeah, there we are. And so I want to give you three life principles tonight. They're in the outlines, and I wanted to give you all three of those. There's five passages of scripture for each of the life principles. We'll leave some copies for those that aren't able to be here in person, and you can pick those up next time you're in here. I think they could be a help to you. But a question for us: what faces the believer today? And what faces our church today? And there was a message that I heard, it's probably been about 6, maybe even 7 years ago now, that was such a challenge to me. The interesting thing was, it was just kind of a sub-note in the message. It really wasn't the main topic, but I heard this, and I was challenged by these four points that were given. And I've shared them often. A few of you might have even heard them before, but let me give them to you. They're not in your notes, but I'll give you these, and then we're going to go right into those life principles. But first of all, here were the points that he made. That number one, that we live in a world of opposing values. And we do live in some pretty difficult times, don't we? I mean, just unbelievable times. And have been even for a while, but we live in a world of opposing values. I don't think we have to spend much time there, but here's the thing that got my attention. We live in a world with a very aggressive strategy, very aggressive, probably even more aggressive than we realize, on what it's trying to teach our children, our grandchildren, even ourselves. Because here's what happens: we either adopt or we reject the values that the world puts upon us. And with this very aggressive strategy of telling us what we should be, if we're going to be successful, even if we're going to be popular with other people and people accept us and people want to be with us, and we all want to be liked by other people, but yet putting on us the fact that this is what you must accept, this is what you must tolerate, and even going much further with it that today, you must engage in this if you're going to make it in society today. And we're either going to adopt what society puts on us, or we're going to reject. And the battle is that so often the values that they're trying to put upon us, and very aggressive with that strategy, are values that are totally contrary to God's word, aren't they? Now, we know that, and yet sometimes we might be alarmed by, wow, I think I might be accepting more of these than I really should when I look at God's word. And this fourth one is the one that really got to me. Again, it's been a few years ago, and it's become my passion, not only in life, but in ministry. In order to reject the world's values, we need to be equally aggressive. As they get more aggressive, we need to get more aggressive with what God's plan is. So I have three simple life principles. Now, they're not the only life principles from God's word, but I have found in my life these have been a great help to me. And what I did is I put them into what we call student leadership conferences a few years ago as life principles for teens, for our students at these conferences, because that's the third area, the third event that we have. We host those as MACs, and even as some of the state organizations, we host those. And I have the privilege of actually doing that nationally for the American Association of Christian Schools. But I want to give these principles to you tonight. So you can go ahead, they're on your outlines already. And I'll say a few, I'm going to leave some tools with you this evening back there, and I'll mention that at the end. But let's go ahead and get into those. Here is life principle number one: to let your purpose prioritize your life. If you see the outline there, it's right there. By the way, anybody else need one? I think they probably got them out to everybody. Okay, pastor needs one. That's normally the case, you know. Is all right, you know, the guy that was out, he didn't get one on the way in. He was in here a long time before trying to figure out what to do with weather and so forth tonight. So life principle number one: let your purpose be the priority of your life. And underneath that, there's five passages of scripture. And I'm just kind of touching on these, and I'm giving you these as a tool, because I would encourage you to take these five. There, many of them are pretty familiar passages. Some of us here could probably quote many of these, but I have found in my own life that these have been really impacting principles from God's Word. Let's look at number one. Proverbs 3, so often, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Anybody here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, your life verse? Anybody take that as a life verse? Years ago, as a young Christian, I heard about having a life verse, and I ended up choosing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, and not to lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now, you'll notice here, it actually says Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, because now it actually goes on to those other passages of Scripture, because I've expanded what was initially just my life verses there. But look what it says here. You got the outline. Always trust in the Lord, and don't believe your own reasoning. It can get us into trouble. Because we can think about, well, this will be good, this will be helpful, this and that, and yet what the Scripture says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of there is the ways of death. And so we don't always trust our own reasoning, because sometimes we can take that to the situation and we want it to turn out a particular way. We want our outcome of this, of what we really hope would happen, and it's easy to get involved in our own reasoning, and yet we're reminded here in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, reason I give these passages, because these are great passages of Scripture for us to go ahead and meditate on. You know, have you ever heard of the five-finger grip? I learned that as a young Christian. I was 24 when I put my faith and trust in Christ, and my wife-to-be had actually been involved in the Navigators when she was in college, and they had this program of a topical memory system, and a TMS they called it, but anyway, they would teach what they called the five-finger grip. And I feel like it really goes along with Scripture meditation, because sometimes, you know, we can be definitely engaged in the Word of God. Here we are. You know, I mean, you're the hardcore. You even braved the weather here. Well, I was already here. Okay, but you didn't, you thought, you know, we think we can make it home okay and everything and great. I love Sunday night crowds. They're the core folks and so forth. So let's just look at it for a moment. Five-finger grip. So we got five fingers, right? Thumb and four fingers. Now, if we hear the Word of God, guess what? That was the first finger. So I'm going to take the little pinky here, okay? The little finger. And guess what? I don't have much of a grip, but I can at least balance it a little bit. God's Word with one finger by hearing the Word of God. I listen to messages. I'm involved in, you know, classes, Sunday school, and so forth, and hear the Word of God. And that's great. That's wonderful. But you know, if we just hear the Word of God, we're not going to have a great grip on it. Then there's reading the Word of God. And I'm certain that you're continually reminded, be involved in a daily Bible reading program. And it's so important that that we do that. It's just not what we get on Sunday. We come to worship the Lord on Sunday. We come to learn. We come to grow. Come to fellowship with one another. Those are, you know, definitely the reasons for being involved in the Lord's Day in a worship service, to come and worship Him. We had a great service this morning. In class, other than me being the teacher, I think things went pretty well. And now we really had a great time there in fellowship, even had some fellowship with folks after. My wife's actually on a Zoom. We're normally on a Zoom on Sunday night with a discipleship series, because we're doing it at church, but then we're also doing it on Zoom for some folks, and she's on that. She's the one that actually gets it all set up on Sunday night for us, so she's doing that. But so being involved, not only the hearing, but the reading. Guess what? Got two fingers now. Hey, I can balance it halfway decent there. But then there's study the Word of God. And we see much from Scripture about studying the Word of God and being involved in it and learning and growing through the Word. So important. Guess what? Now we've got three fingers on it. All right? Pretty good balance that I have now. Then you get to the fourth one, memorizing the Word of God. And it is important to be involved in Scripture meditation. And so now we're getting a pretty good hold on this book, aren't we? But then the fifth one is meditating on the Word of God. Some of you would be familiar with Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall what? Not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, be more aggressive with God's plan. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditating on the Word of God. So let's just look at this for a moment. Not going to take much time here, but Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Okay, what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding? What should that look like in my life at home? What should it look like on the job? What it should look like even at church? And even as a couple or as a family, to take a passage like this. And I actually had 30 students go through, this has been a couple of summers ago now, because I put this packet together for them where they were going to be meditating on the Word of God. And I had, it was older high school students and third and older or some college students. And so I had them take one passage, these 10 passages that are right on the front of your outline here. And for the 1 week, they would take that passage and they would meditate on that particular passage. So they'd meditate on Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And it was interesting, even after the first couple of weeks, I was getting emails, I was getting texts, I was getting phone calls, I was talking to some at church and were sharing with me, wow, you know, I even knew that passage by heart, but I've never really thought about how can I make application in my life. And so got pretty excited about that. What I actually did with these passages was wrote a book a few years ago, and I wrote it for the student leadership conferences. When we'd have the student leadership conferences, and we really focus on having a biblical worldview and developing a ministry mindset, getting our focus off of ourselves and on the people. Been involved in these now for over 30 years with the American Association of Christian Schools, and love those. My kids even grew up in those. But it would be interesting, because what would happen is we would be at the conferences many times. Many of them are one day, but we have some that are even 2 or 3 days. And so, sometimes even a sponsor would say, boy, this was great. Man, this was really good, not just for the student, but for me. I can't wait till next year. And I thought, well, and so I'd have these sponsor meetings. Now, you know, don't wait till next year. You know, here, I'll give you some tools. Take these, and you can use those in school. You can use those, have some groups after school, however you'd want to do it. But after a while, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to put some things in print for follow-up. So 3 years ago, I put this book together. It's these five passages from Life Principle Number 1. Underneath here, it says, focus on winning in life. That's what we're seeking to do. The life principle, let your purpose prioritize your life. So there were five chapters in this little book, but one chapter on each of these five passages of Scripture. So chapter 1 was Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And it's all about letting your purpose in life. Why are we here? We're here to glorify God according to God's Word. We're here to grow in Christ's likeness. What does it say in Romans 8, 29? We're to be conformed to the image of His Son. And one of the reasons we do that is by being involved in a Bible-believing church like you are. And we're getting the preaching of the Word. And there's all kinds of programs to be involved in studies and this and that. And that is great. And yet we're to take those things and make application for our life. And so even a family, and what I would, you know, what happened is I started doing these with the students, but then I had some families say, hey, I'd like to use that. Could I use one of those books? And we could go through it. And I'm not saying they'd have to do a passage a week, but maybe a passage every 2 weeks, or could even be a month, where they just kind of focus on that. And maybe at dinner time, sometime, hey, let's look at that. What does that mean, to trust in the Lord with all your heart? How can you do that at school? How can you do that in our home here? How can we do a better job of trusting the Lord with all of our heart in situations, and have a little dialogue between the family? And I've just found that this has really worked well. Go down to number 5 here. So you've got the other passages. You could look those up. That's why I'm giving you the notes. 4 Christian distinctives given to us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Many of us are familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. What does it say? I beseech you, therefore. Whenever you get a therefore, it always is okay. What does it say in Romans 1 through 11? Well, 1 through 11 of Romans gives us all kinds of doctrine. What we believe, great verses. Some of those that I learned even before I was a Christian, sitting on guard duty in Vietnam from this topical memory system. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages, what I earn because of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We could go on and on with great doctrine that's taught in Romans 1 through 11. But then it comes to a different topic. It's not just what we believe from Romans 1 through 11, but now starting in chapter 12, that's why the therefore is there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. See, now we're going from what we believe to what should our behavior be because of what we believe. And so you got Romans 12, 1 and 2. I put 4 different things down there that I like to call 4 Christian distinctives. First of all, you have the word present in Romans 12, 1. I just shared that. That's a different goal that we have. We have a different goal than the average person. See, our goal is to give ourselves back to God as a living sacrifice. Our goal is to glorify Him through what we say, through what we do. That simple verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, that many of us know, whether therefore you what? Eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. See, that's our purpose. And so our purpose is to give ourselves back to Him. And it says in Romans 12, 1, it's only reasonable that we do that. Then secondly, second distinctive, not only a different goal, different authority. What does it say in Romans 12, 2? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So you've got to renew your mind. That's the second goal. We have a different authority. It's God's Word. We've all heard God's Word is our final authority. But what does that mean? As I'm making choices in life, how can I make God my final authority? Think about it as an individual, or as a couple, or even as a family. To take a little time, let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. How can we take that and make application? What should this look like in our home, in our lives, to other believers, to non-Christians that were around, and on it could go. So I think you get the message on that, how scripture meditation, taking a passage. I'm not saying, you know, if you're already on a Bible program and so forth, wonderful, that's great. Not saying not do that. Not saying put that away and do something else. But no, if you could add this. And I don't care, like I said, you don't have to do one a week, one passage a week, but a couple of weeks or even one a month, and go through these. And you know what that's doing? I believe that's taking our Christian life to another level by meditating on Scripture. We hear it. Let's be consistent in reading it. We need to be involved in studying it. even memorizing it, but meditating on it for the application. And I find that so often we're not really getting that five-finger grip on God's word. We're getting some of it, but we need to be more aggressive in the days that we live. That's the point. Let's go down to life principle number two. Now, be different on purpose. Wrote another book 2 years ago, Let Your Light Shine. Again, I wrote these for the students, but what I found is that I started having families who had kids that had been in conferences saying, hey, could we have one of those? Could we get this book? And this was a five-chapter book, five passages. You've got them right there in front of you, starting with Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. And the life principle is to be different on purpose. Let me just put it up there. To be different on purpose. The word different, a lot of times we think different means odd, you know. Boy, you know that guy, you know, he's a little different, meaning a little. But you know what the word different actually means? It means distinct. It means unlike most others. And guess what? To some people, if we're going to be what God's called us to be, we're going to be a little odd. But there's a distinctiveness about it. And by the way, I guess it's such a passion with me because it was that distinctiveness in a young lady on a secular college campus that I don't recommend, my alma mater, because there sure wasn't much going on for God there. I was one of the few guys in my dorm that even got up and went to church on Sunday morning, but I wasn't a Christian yet. I was Roman Catholic, and I went out of habit because that's what I had done. But I met somebody there who was distinct. And I noticed about her, she was on a committee with me, something different about her. She just seemed to have a purpose about her. Didn't seem like she was trying to impress people and trying to make sure that she was in with the popular crowd and all of this. Here, I was a junior in college. She was a freshman, and she ended up on this committee with me. And, well, actually, I put her on the committee with me. I interviewed her, and I put her on this committee. But I could tell there was something different about her, and she just had a purpose about her. And as I got to know her, basically, she said her purpose was she was here to glorify God. But she said she'd given her life to Jesus Christ is what she said. And she could always give me a Bible reason for what she did and what she didn't do. And you know what happened? She pointed me to the Word of God. I got involved in the Word of God. And as a result, it took a little time because of my indoctrination, but I went from religion to a relationship with Christ when I was 24 years old. And some of you know the end of the story. Yep, I married her. She's my wife. We have the five kids and 19 grandkids, and our oldest granddaughter just got married, so there's 32 of us now, counting her spouse, when we all get together. And but you know what? It was somebody who was different on purpose. What says Matthew chapter 5? Look at the scripture there. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Great passage of scripture, and we're not going to look at it just for time's sake, but what does it say? You're salt. Your light. And we're to let our light so shine before others that they may see our good works and what? Glorify our Father. That's our purpose, which is in heaven. And so in this book, five chapters, five passages of scripture, and that go into, okay, how can I make application to this particular passage, and helps us as we really consider meditating on this particular passage. So, some great passages there. Wish we had time. I don't want to take extra time. I love, by the way, number five. Yeah, I will love them all. Now, let's take number two there, under life principle number two, Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Such an important one. What does it say? Think on the eternal versus the temporal. We battle that every day. But what does Christ say? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? They can be destroyed. They can be stolen. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Think on the eternal. Focus on the eternal, not on the earthly. And yet are we told by society, how are you going to be successful? See, they have totally different goals. We won't go into all this, but it's in the book, by the way. And you could look at that. And then John 17 down at there at the end, I love that passage. But it talks about when Christ was praying a night before his crucifixion for his disciples. And he says in that prayer that they are in the world, but they're not to be of the world. And he's praying to the Heavenly Father to keep them from the evil of the world. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth, your word's truth. See, they're in the world, but not of the world, but we are sent to the world. That is our mission. And so, but look at that. Now, let's go turn to the back of the page, and I'm going to have you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to move through it quickly here, and I'll let you go. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice I didn't fill in those blanks. So I don't have it on PowerPoint. I'm just going to talk through them real quickly. But let's look. Life principle number 3. What is it? Let your purpose clarify your choices. Guess what? Another book. Last year. Wrote this during COVID, actually. And 5 chapters on the life principle of let your purpose clarify your choices. The book's called Choosing with Purpose. And I actually have a copy for every family that I brought tonight. I told Pastor I'd bring every family a copy. And so you can pick one up on the way out. I'll leave plenty of extras for those that weren't able to be here or those that had to leave and so forth. But we can have it. But it's 5 chapters, 5 passages. They're listed here. The others are filled in the blanks. But I want us to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians is my favorite New Testament book. It was the first one that I actually studied in God's Word, and I just fell in love with 1 Thessalonians, especially chapter 1 and chapter 2. But let's look at chapter 5, which really has to do with the coming of our Lord, but yet there's more than that, and it talks about what is our life. Let's look, starting in verse number 5. I'm going to read it through verse 11. You're the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, are sober-minded, putting on the breastplate, here it is, of faith, and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Let me give you 3 quick points here. First of all, where it says 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 18, and I'll let you read the rest of those verses on your own. I would encourage you to do that. But here it is. We are children of light. And we know that. But what should that look like? Children of light. See, we're not of the night. We're to be sober-minded. So let me just quickly give you these 3 bullet points. Number 1, our mission. What is our mission? According to verses 5 through 10. To live for him. As children of light, that's our mission. That's our goal. We're to live for him. You can put down Romans 8:29. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. 1 Corinthians 10:31. I mentioned that. You can just write those down. But so many scriptures that we could use. Then verses 11 through 13. What is our ministry? Here's our ministry as believers here on earth. To live together in love and peace. To live together in love and peace. Let me just give you one scripture. Write it down. John 13, 34, 35. Some of you probably know it. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another. Christ says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one towards another. Wow, that's being salt and light. We don't have to try to be salt and light. In fact, Matthew 5 says, you are salt. And see that young lady on that college campus, by her life, by what she said, by the way that she lived, she was a seasoning, a spiritual seasoning. She lived life the way that God intended it. And as a result, what did she do? If you eat something real salty, you get real what? Thirsty. And it created a thirst in me, and by the way, it created a thirst in others also. And as a result, I wanted what she had. I had religion, but I didn't know anything about a relationship with Christ. Never had a Bible. We didn't have one in our home. Had a lot of religion books, but it didn't have the Bible. And as I began to get into God's Word, and especially when I ended up a couple of years later in Vietnam, in the United States Army, and on guard duty, I didn't do it in front of other people, but on guard duty with my flashlight, I was beginning to read, and I was beginning to study, and I was even beginning to memorize God's Word, and it did not return void. And after coming back home, I had already decided to start attending a Bible-believing church, which still exists today. The one that I'm on pastoral staff of, Tri-City Baptist Church. It was Bethel Baptist Church. It was only about 3 or 4 months old as a church at the time, but I ended up putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I had the privilege now of actually being on staff there for a number of years. 8 years I was up in northern Wisconsin at Northland Baptist Bible College, but other than that, I've been there for many years now. And in fact, last year was our year of 50s for my wife and me. 50 years ago, last December, I put my faith and trust in Christ, December 23rd. 50 years ago, last February, got married. And 50 years ago this past December, so just December, I actually quit my management position at JCPenney Company and went into ministry. And initially for the great, wonderful salary of zero. And we lived off of her salary for a year, and then I ended up on staff, and then I began to get education, and I did it the hard way, and I don't recommend it to people, but that's how I did it. So anyway, and the Lord was gracious to us. Our mission, our ministry, live together in love and peace. John 13, 34, 35. You might even put down Psalm 34, 3. I love Psalm 34, 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Great verse. I use those a lot with Christian schools, but great verse for all of us, for families, for churches, so forth. All right, the third bullet point, verse number 14. What's our message? So we've got our mission to live for him, our message, live together in love and peace, and our message, love by meeting needs. And I'll just throw out something. I won't take the time to go into it, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it gives four needs of people. And the book that I'm giving to each family actually explains those four needs. What it says in 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Four types of needy people. Boy, everywhere I go, you know what? All kinds of needy people like that. And what are we to do? We're to love folks by meeting needs, and as a result, be the salt and light that God has called us to be. Now, I don't want to take any more time this evening with that, but let me mention just a couple of things before I close in prayer and turn it over to Pastor. But two things. I have some resources out there, and we're just trying to get these out to people, and that's why we do those books. But we've actually taken the three books. So I'm giving you this one this evening, which is Choosing with Purpose. It's a book, because choices, we make so many choices each day. But how do we choose with purpose? Five chapters, five passages in that. But what I did is take the three books together because we were getting requests for them. Well, I'll actually start with this. 2 years ago, I told you about those 30 students, and we put together, and we ended up calling it a focus pack, but it was a scripture meditation program. So we now put it into a little packet, so you get the two books, the two that you're not getting this evening, but it also has a study for each one of those. So you got 10 chapters, but it's got a study that I actually did for Sunday school during COVID. Pastor wanted me to have a since we weren't having Sunday school for our families, so they could do at home when they were watching it on live stream. And so I went ahead and did a study on each one of these. And so this is all together in what we call a focus pack. And so we put that together. I have some of those back there. It's actually $20 worth of materials, but it's just a resource that we use through our SLC Biblical Ministries, which has our conferences and everything for $10. And but it's actually $20 worth of things. Then last year, last June, with this third book of Choosing with Purpose, the one you're getting tonight, we actually had came up with what we call a foundation pack. And it's Focus on Winning in Life. It's got all three of those books. And I'm finding a lot of people are using these for themselves, for their families. They're also using them to go through with somebody else. And it's really become a good tool that way that people are using just from conferences that had heard about it. But I have some of those back there. This is 10, too. So one's a focus pack, that's the two books. Scripture Meditation Program talks about that and how to do it and so forth. Then the foundation pack is the three books that has 15 passages of scripture that you can go through and read a chapter on each one of those particular passages. And hopefully it's a tool to help us to be more aggressive with God's plan and especially God's word in our life. Got some other books back there, a book that I wrote, co-authored with Ken Collier from the Wilds a few years ago called Biblical Leadership. And people have been asking that. And we actually put the workbook with it. I wrote a workbook that goes along with it. So you get the book and the workbook, $10. Everything we have back there for sale is $10. But the Biblical Leadership is about $22 worth of books and workbook together and for $10. And then there's one called How to Be a Team Player. And I had been on staff for a period of time, a number of years, and our pastor asked me to write a book on staff relationships. And I actually, it became one called How to Be a Team Player. And it has some real practical tips on relationships with other people, working with them, and even managing our time and so forth. And there's a workbook that we put together with that as well. And that's back there, I think that one's $24 on Amazon for the book and the workbook, $10 for those as well. So if you're interested in any of those, you can pick those up tonight on the way out. But let's have a word of prayer. Good being with you. And hopefully it's just a challenge to us, again, to go back to point number four. In order to reject the world's plan, we must be equally aggressive with God's plan. And that's really become the passion for me and for the ministry that we seek to do, even with working with the Max Ministries, because we work with the entire ministry, not just with schools. Just enjoy doing that. Was just in Nebraska last week working with our three schools that are up there and that are involved in Max and in doing some different things, and had a great time with them. Let's have a word of prayer here. Father, what a joy to be here. And we're thankful that we can be a part of a local body of believers, a privilege that we have to fellowship with one another, be with folks with similar goals in life, and seek to really, as your word says in Hebrews 10:24, to really stimulate one another to love and to good works. And I pray that, Lord, your word, it's the most important thing we do, is to give the sound doctrine and teaching for a living. And Lord, that we would be more aggressive with your word in our life, even as what we looked at tonight and those various scriptures in the outline. And we'll thank you for what's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.